Thanks. I don't need no soy sauce. Thank you.
All right, I muted your private phone. F47, you are unmuted.
Okay, thank you, Angela.
You're welcome.
Patrick.
Hi, Patrick.
Okay.
Patrick Devine?
Yep.
Hi, Patrick.
Okay. The courts that you're going to, okay, with these judges that have bar cards, they are commercial banking courts. The de jure court for the county is basically a tribunal court that you get three of your supervisors or councilmen or people that are the de jure court of the county. Okay? That is also classified as the ecclesiastical court that George Washington wanted to make sure was in effect because these courts were not addressed in the Constitution. And he wouldn't sign the Constitution unless the counties had that authority to have the county commissioners or supervisors be the court of the county. Townships also had three trustees that basically settled boundary disputes. And it has to be a tribunal to have a ruling, two out of three, to make the final ruling. The county commissioners have that same capability. You have to call upon them to invoke that court. But you go into any of these other courts, they're commercial for-profit, and they're foreign bar courts. And they're working for a profit.
Yep.
Okay?
And they never close.
And they never close. And basically, they write judgment liens against your assets that you never know about because they're in the court records. They don't go, they're not like a commercial lien, which is in the public record in the county recorder's office. These judicial liens are in the court. And you never know when they're closed or not. Now, basically all property taxes are prepaid. The state holds a certificate of title to your property. You have to go in and invoke the county commissioners and the prosecuting attorney for the county or the county attorney, who is basically the chief financial officer for the county. You have to force them to go and draw the funds from the state. Okay? From the state attorney general's office, who is the chief financial officer for the state in this commercial banking system. And right now, all the states of, like state of Iowa, is out there as a branch bank of the United States Bank that was created in 1871. It's a commercial bank. All the constitutions, the state and the United States Constitution, are nothing but banking charters. People want to go to the Articles Confederation. That was a failed banking charter because it took all 13 states or 13 colonies to be in total agreement. So they had to come up with a new banking charter that basically was a tribunal or two out of three, two-thirds majority to pass a bill. It's all about banking. It's your banking, and right now we're operating under this commercial foreign banking system. And one of the key documents that you have at your disposal is called the SF-1047 form to get your refunds back. And you process that through the Secretary of the State, who is basically an account manager for this commercial banking system.
Have you done this?
Yes.
And what happened? How did it come about? I mean, how did you...
we had to piecemeal this back together, and we come in as an international organization, because when you got your certificate of live birth, that went over to Philadelphia, and basically out of your state, and basically that crossed state lines, and every state in this country is classified as a separate nation. Okay? They can't. They can operate internationally, and we can too, because an organization requires to have two persons, and they gave us our second person when they registered that certificate of live birth. Okay? And all these certificates of live birth nowadays are basically on banknote paper, and you can assign a value and turn around, and now that is classified as a warehouse receipt, and you can determine the value you want and process that in with a 1047 form, the SF 1047 form. And this form has been out there since 1973, and it has not changed one bit. And your address is in an oblong circle, not in a square box, like most of the commercial forms out here. It's a unique form. And that was what they had to give us, a remedy. And that is the remedy if people understand this. And then, as we are an international organization, we were the creditor of America. Okay? We the people. We own America. We own the treasury. So we're a creditor. Now, every Inspector General's website, the FBI, the IRS, they all have identity theft documents out here. Why? Because they have stolen our identity as basically being a creditor and taken our fictional persons and turned them into debtors. That's identity theft right there. Because our persons that we create are derivatives of us as a creditor. So how can they turn around and become a debtor? They can't. Unless our identity has been stolen from us. It's a funny game, and basically you've got to really sit down and decipher this, how these guys have gone about this. But that's pretty much what I've got to say.
Okay.
I've got, I posted a link up there for my last audio, and basically a lot of my files are on econcurrent.com.
The where?
/divine.
Say it again.
econcurrent.com/divine, and the latest files that I have are in file folder 38.
Okay.
And basically, I'm driving around here. I've got the MSO to my vehicle. I bought it last year. I haven't paid any taxes on it. I don't have any insurance on it. I park right in the sheriff's office and everything else. I got my own private license plate on it. I've got the seal of the eagle with the 13 stars, the 13 arrows, and the 13 olive branches. That's the We the People shield. We stand over these government agencies out here.
Do you get pulled over ever?
Nope.
Hmm. And you don't have a license, a regular, you know, state issue license?
I don't have a regular state license. I don't have a driver's license. And I don't have insurance on the vehicle. I've got on the back of it, not for hire. And they see that I've got a cross on one side and a fish on the other side because I'm also standing in admiralty. One of the other key documents besides your certificate of live birth or your Bible entry is your original or your hospital birth certificate. That's your original birth certificate, not the certificate of live birth. That is a creation that Basie put us in as an international organization. That's on the land. That is your land, life estate, land title.
What kind of car do you drive?
What is it? Ford, whatever. 19.
I mean, is it a truck or is it a...
It's a little white car. Little white car, basically brand new last year. Fusion or Fission or whatever the hell it is.
Oh, cute.
Four door.
And there's no license. So when you bought the car, what'd you tell them? Did you say, I'm taking it out of the country, or how did you get the MSO?
I came in and basically I bought it with a debit card that I got from the... I applied for Social Security, and I stopped it after 2 months. Well, then I, that was about 5 years ago. Then I reapplied last year for it, and they told me, well, I had about $60,000 coming. So I knew right then and there that they kept using, they kept drawing the funds out of my account because they were making a profit off that because they write bonds for those payments. So they have to make their profit.
Interest on it probably, right?
Yeah, and they were drawing interest. And
so you got a big lump sum of what they back owed you?
Yeah, $70,000. I didn't get it right away. They kept dragging their feet. Oh, well, it's got to go through three layers or three approval cycles to get this. Well, I said, this is bullshit after about 2 months of that. I called up the Social Security Inspector General, and I said, I'm claiming fraud in your administration here in the process. They would have had it to me in 3 days, but they messed up my Direct Express debit card number by one. The local Social Security agent, when I called her up, she caught it. She called them, and basically then 3 days later, the funds were in my account.
Wow.
See?
So what did you do?
When you call fraud, they will jump because they know everything out here is being operated in fraud.
So let me ask you something, Patrick. So you said 5 years ago you signed up for Social Security and you collected it for a couple of years and then you stopped it. How did you stop it?
I basically put an order into them to... stop it. That was the, I forget which form it is. So after 2 months, they stopped the payments, but they didn't stop, okay?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, for 5 years, I mean, they sent you a lump sum?
Oh, yeah.
$73,000. So now you're back collecting it again, or?
Yeah, basically I'm getting it every month, okay, now. So I'm going to close the whole thing down here.
I want to know how you stopped getting it, how you stopped them from sending it to you. I mean, because that's like having a
payment. Well, there's a form. There's a form out there. You can stop payments.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's on the Social Security website, there's a form you can stop.
Let me go look. Yeah, go ahead.
But, so I went in there and I also have got an EIN for an individual banker. And when you get that EIN for an individual banker, okay, and the state has no jurisdiction over an individual banker, I also had to assign who that individual banker was working for. And he's working for the Patrick Devine Private Bank, E&T, a state and trust. And the state has no jurisdiction over a private bank either. Okay? Because per the constitutions of the state, they cannot get involved in private enterprises or private banks.
So you're a private bank now?
Yeah, and basically, I turned around and I bought that car under my private bank name, and they said, well, basically, you're going to have to take this down to the treasurer and get the license and everything. And I said, uh-uh. It's not required per the law. And I had them write that on there. Only if required by the law will I have to do that on the bill of sale. And basically, I gave them the $1,000 rebate that was supposed to come. I said, I don't want any rebates. I only want a 30-day guarantee on the car. The 7-year warranty, I don't want. I can pay for the thing later on by drawing funds if I need to buy another vehicle. So I don't have any warranty. I didn't get the 30-day dealer license on the car or anything. When I left there, there was nothing on that car. And I took their advertisement decal off right away because I'm not going to advertise for them and be claiming that they have a jurisdiction over it. So the state has no claim over that vehicle whatsoever. They can't force me into anything. It's just like me going out and buying a tractor and driving it down the road. Does a tractor need to have a license? No. Does a lawnmower need to have a license? No. You can drive it down the street. It's private property. Let's see.
Okay.
We've been misguided in a lot of the stuff out here, and then a lot of people don't understand that everything out here is about banking. And when you start understanding banking, then you can start going after these people, after these courts. We have some protective laws out here because these guys have to operate per the commercial banking codes that are out here, and that's all these codes are, is commercial banking codes. And one of the big ones is 15 U.S.C. Section 1 and Section 2. Section 1 is they cannot restrain our right of free trade and commerce. Section 2 is basically about monopolizing the system, and all these bar attorneys are monopolizing the court systems out here, and they're getting kickbacks, forcing you to have insurance on top of insurance, because if you have a certificate of title to a vehicle, the state already has, they keep using that and writing bonds. So that vehicle is already assured by the state. And you can take that certificate of title and basically it's got a value on it and cash that thing in using the 1047, the SF 1047, and endorsing it and sending it into the Secretary of State and get the money back that's right there on the top of that certificate of title. We've been standing these courts down, okay?
Yeah, I was just looking at this form here, request for withdrawal of application. That's from Social Security, but I don't know if this is the one. Is this the form? TOE-420, OMB number 0960-0015?
That doesn't sound like the right one.
Mm. This one is a request to cancel your application for that Social Security. And it says here, if we approve it, the decision we made on your application will have no legal effect. You will forfeit all rights attached to an application, including the rights of appeal. You won't have to return any payment we made to you or anyone else on the basis of that application. So that's
not the one.
All right.
wow.
There's just so many out, there's so many forums on the site.
And see, that's your money, okay?
Well, don't you have a copy of it laying around somewhere?
God, you've got to be kidding me. I got papers all over the place, Angela. I've turned out more papers than anybody out here. I've been to every court in the country.
I'm just curious to see what that form looks like, you know, to cancel or to stop getting payments from Social Security. It's very
I just stopped it, but then I reactivated it again, okay?
How do you stop it? You just, you write them a letter, and but you said you filled out a form.
Yeah. There was a
form
to basically stop it, okay?
Yeah, but you don't know what form it was.
Yeah, but why worry about it? Basically, why do you want to stop it?
No, I was just curious to read the form itself.
Okay.
I don't collect Social Security. I am not collecting Social Security.
But see, that is your money that is sitting there, okay?
Yeah.
We basically, when we signed up with Social Security, we deposited roughly anywhere from $640 to $1 million of credits into the Federal Reserve Bank under that Social Security number. We gave them credits. We're the creditor in this country. And see, every time we sign a document, we are giving credits over to them. Now, they don't take that. They turn around and they take our name and they turn it into a debtor on the other side of the form, like a mortgage form. You initially sign on the right-hand side. That's a creditor. Then they turn around and put your name on the other side of the document, making you a debtor, and you already gave them the credits that they're holding in a budget, in an account off budget that you don't see. And then they get you to abandon it later on.
Okay.
It's a shell game, really, is the way it is. I mean, it's a game to these guys, and then basically all these bar attorneys are working for the foreign barons, the banking barons out of England and France. And basically the Pope has pulled all protections away from the barons. Therefore, all the bar attorneys have been protection from the Roman church has been taken away. They've lost all of their protections. And we can go after them and see under 15 U.S.C. Section 1 and Section 2, if they restrain your right of free trade and commerce, per individual, it's $1 million. For a corporation, it's $100 million, and you basically put the item into them, and you do a judgment lien against them, not a commercial lien. You give them the 3 days in a commercial contract, and then if they don't plead by processing your settlement or returning it back to you, they have done a judgment Nellis, I think is the name, in that they have not pleaded we can't do this for you. Okay? And you are also, as an international organization, you are a government unto yourself. And the Supreme Court has ruled upon this, and also the Congress, under the Civil RICO Act, has determined that we have the right of private attorney general. And we can prosecute these cases into an Article 3 court, either at the circuit court or at the district court. And no bar attorneys can come into these courts.
Well, Patrick, we've gone over the two-hour mark.
Okay, I'm going to shut up then. I'm sorry.
Thank you. No, it's all right. I'm glad you came on and shared that with us. It's always interesting. But you come on at the end.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt in the middle there and basically get into